In this month of September, as we've said, we are thinking about questions that Jesus asked. And Jesus was a fantastic question asker. He had this way of getting to the nub of the issue, getting to the hidden agenda, to the real core, that question, you know, the elephant in the room question. The one that just, you know, he was able to just to get through all the faff to what needed to be said. And he asked a great question this week. In fact, every question that we're looking at over this next month, I think, are questions that he asks of us here and now. So today we are thinking about, do you want to be well? Do you want to get well? So if you have your Bible, I do encourage you to bring it to church. Can you open it or turn it on? Because you're all with your phones. Right, I don't want to see anybody doing Sudoku. I can see up here. Okay, to John chapter 5. And we are looking at the first 15 verses. It's called The Healing at the Well. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. Do you want to get well? I think that's a good question. And today I wonder, it's a rhetorical question, you don't have to shout out, what would be your answer to that? Do you want to get well? It's a question about healing and wholeness. And that's the business that God is in. When we discover God, whether we've grown up in church, whether we've been around God forever, or whether we've come to faith through something like an Alpha course, however we meet Jesus, we discover that he is in the business of transformation, of turning around ordinary lives and shaping and molding them to be more like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Convicts us when we get stuff wrong and helps us to be more like Jesus. So it's a good question. Do you want to get well? And that's what the man at the pool was asked, as we've just heard. And you might think it's a bit of an obvious question. It's a bit of a duh. Well, of course I want to get well. Maybe Jesus is stating the obvious. Maybe it's a challenging question to our modern ears. It's a bit like if you went to the doctors, if you're a disabled person in a wheelchair and have been for 38 years, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Do you want to get well?" It's a kind of ouchy question in that context. Well, I've been like this for 38 years. What do you think? I wonder who is nearest to the age of 38 in our congregation. How old are you, Dan? 37. Anyone actually 38? Are you 38? So, Jill, as long as Jill has been alive, this man has been sitting by the pool all of Jill's life, sitting and waiting and hoping that something would look different. Sitting on his mat had become his way of life. It had become stagnant, his life. Sitting and waiting, hoping something would change. This pool of Bethesda was known for its healing properties. You may notice if you have your Bible on or open that in this passage there is no verse 4. It goes from verse 3 to verse 5. Where has verse 4 disappeared to? Well, that may be a footnote, and it may say something along the lines of, it was thought that from time to time, the angel of the Lord would come and stir up the waters, and the first one in the pool would be cured. So there's this idea that first one in is healed, and no one else is. And as I sat reflecting on that as I was writing this week, I've preached on this passage before, I thought, well, that's really quite cruel in this situation of people of brokenness. Only one of you can get to the pool and be healed at any one time. And this man is waiting. You can be healed if you've got mates to get you there. You can be healed if you're strong enough to get there. You can be healed if you could roll yourself in and land with a plop. If, then you can get healing. And there's a huge sense of frustration and hopelessness in this story. And that's the story of lots of us, where we've been waiting, maybe not for 38 years, but waiting for God to answer a prayer. Folk with long-term health conditions, with chronic pain, with issues that don't seem to get answered, with prayers that we don't think have been heard in the way we would like. And perhaps we're two people that we just can't get to the water when it's bubbling in order to move on and life to begin again. And that's this man's problem, that he can't move. He's in such a stuck place. He's got no one to help him to get to the water, and so he's just waiting. And I know that some of us will recognize the impossibility of the place that this man is in and the pain that would cause. It reminded me of this picture. I think some of you have seen it before. We had a series on Christian art a couple of years ago, and we looked at this picture. This is a picture of this Bible reading by the artist Edward Burra. It is not a comfortable-looking picture. It is not a picture you would hang above the fireplace. And I think that's the point. Because the artist lived with long-term illness. And perhaps this painting says something about that. About the greyness of living in pain and not knowing when the colour in your life will come back. Edward Burrough, who painted this, was a talented draftsman. He painted many scenes of violence and destruction, and particularly through the two world wars that he lived through. And perhaps that painting also reflects something about that, about the human condition, about what pain does to your mind, about the grayness of living with that, with depression or anxiety or mental health issues. This is owned by the Methodist Art Collection. There's a Methodist Art Collection. It's the most expensive painting they own, apparently. And you can go visit it in the Methodist Art Collection. And a comment recorded by a young man who went to see this, whose mum had just died, he sat in front of it and said he felt gobsmacked by this painting. This man had been sectioned twice and said, whoever painted this understands what that is like. And that Jesus is my Jesus. So Jesus asks a very pertinent question. Do you want to get well? This man needed physical healing. He was broken, as we all are. Do you want to get well? Jesus asks. For the man at the pool, that's his legs, probably, or his spine, or whatever that made him paralyzed. What is it for you? Do you want to get well? Do you want me to make you whole, says Jesus? Do you want your brokenness sorted? Do you want to follow me into a life of wholeness? It's an invitation of God to everyone, to every generation. And you might think the answer for everybody would be obvious. Well, yes, of course I do, Lord. Of course, bring it on. Bring on the healing. But I don't think everybody does answer that way. The man was like, well, I can't get to the pool. I can't get to the water. My legs won't work. And I'm in the same place all over again. I can't. It's not going to work. I'm stuck. He didn't see the possibilities of what Jesus was coming to do. I wonder if you look at your life, and this is an invitation to be a bit self-reflective, if you can see the stuck places that you're in. Because we're all in them. You know, none of us are completely perfect and God's got nothing left to do in us. God has his work cut out on me every single day. What stuck places are you in? For some of us, that will be physical healing or holding on to anger or unforgiveness or some grudge from years back. Could be a destructive habit or a toxic relationship or a stuck pattern. Maybe you're someone who is always saying negative words over yourself. Perhaps you're stuck in a pattern of sin or a place you don't want to be in anymore. And Jesus asks us, do you want to be made well? And I wonder what your answer to that would be. This man had made a life out of 38 years of waiting. And Jesus' question to him is quite pointed. Do you really want to get better? Or are you quite happy to just exist, lounging around, kind of with a feeble excuse that everyone else gets there first? So in a flash, the pool, he does what the pool stood for, but which it hadn't been doing very successfully, by this question that gets to the heart of it. And a word is all it takes for Jesus. He says, get up, pick up your mattress and walk. And this man is launched into a new way of doing life. Of life no longer being identified by the failure and the brokenness. Jesus doesn't come, his question doesn't come with any stipulations. No checking in to see if he's actually deserving of healing. It's just grace upon grace. And the man gets up. He doesn't leave his mat behind. He's not coming back to the place he's left. He takes his mat with him. His circumstances are real, but the difference is he now carries them. They no longer carry him. And what's interesting is the man has to have agency in this. He has to decide to stand up. He has to decide to trust Jesus and to move, knowing that that word from Jesus would heal him. He needs to cooperate with God in the healing that is being offered and to play his part and not to block what God wants to do. And he stands up. But that's kind of not the end of the story. Later on, we have a verse 14, where Jesus comes across him again in the temple and says to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." That is not a good bedside manner, is it? Not your usual patient aftercare there, Jesus. A bit to the point there. But that's the point. Jesus is leading the man into even more wholeness. He's warning him of the consequences of not cooperating with the ongoing healing and redemption that God wants to do in his life. There's probably way more healing to come for this man, not just his legs, but his sense of who he is, healing of his memories, healing of his identity. So he's got to go on with that. He's got more renovation work in his heart to happen. I think we're asked this question every day, do you want to get well? Every day Jesus says, "Louise, do you want to get well?" And invites me to pay attention to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. The nudge that says, "Louise, you have a tendency to exaggerate. Anyone notice that? You need to work on that. Louise, do you want to get well? Stop with the exaggerations. You need to sort that out." The nudge that says, Louise, don't just spend time with me in order to write the sermon. You're not just sermon writing fodder. I lead you as a daughter." The nudge that says, "Louise, be still and know that I am God." You see, those nudges are all invitations to take part in the ongoing work of God in our lives, of healing. I wonder what those "do you want to get well" nudges would be for you in your life, here and now. Some days I listen to those nudges. If I'm honest, some days I might not. I think that's probably the same for all of us. But Jesus doesn't give up on the man in John 5, and he does not give up on us either. Of whatever pickles that we get ourselves in, of whatever thing that we carry, of whatever has happened, God says in Jesus, "Do you want to get well? Because the offer is there." And that's the point of the cross. When Jesus died, He opened up the path for healing for us. It starts with salvation, but it doesn't end there. It opens up to a relationship with Jesus, a forgiveness of sins, coming into a family, and making us the people that he calls us to be and wants us to be. So how about you? What do you say to that question? Do you want to get well? How do you respond to that question of Jesus to you today?